Yeah, so welcome back here to the second half of a new sort of concept for Dundalk FM here called Ready, Steady, Go, where we have three presenters from all across the station talking about a sort of a concoction of different ideas or topics that are just thrown at us, and you have 24 hours to sort of put a show together. So in studio with me, we have Kevin Larney. And we have Anita Guest. So we've been talking so far about the life, and I suppose life is too busy, and we sort of how we work around that and making, I suppose, the happy balance. We talked about our favourite colours. How does that influence our life? Was it a child association? And then we talked about incorporating life, and then I suppose our hobbies, our influence, our idols, and so forth. So, and I suppose the next thing that's supposed to keep us all ticking over is the old grub. And our favourite meals, if you like, or our last meal, if you're up against an execution, as the key. I don't know, it could happen, you never know, God forbid, if it could happen, what would your last meal be? I suppose thankfully we're coming into the good weather, I hope we are, but I suppose I'd say many a house had a big pot of stew going over the last few weeks, I have to say. So stew, it's easy meals. I'm no I'm no Gordon Ramsay, you know, to be honest with you, far from it. Garden to go for, maybe. But I'll have to like making stew. I suppose everyone has their own little tip for making stew. But maybe what I obviously doing is blitzing a few peppers.
Right.
Thrown in near the end, just to give it a little tang, and maybe a small bit of brown sauce. Just to give it a little tangy. Little kick.
Yeah.
Look, it works, I love it, I have to say. There's never much left in the pot anyway, I know that. So about yourselves,
my brother does lovely shepherd's pie.
Lovely. Oh, happy shepherd's pie, a few chips. Happy days. I'm getting hungry here now.
water
let them out. And would you cook yourself, Anita? Would you have a crack?
Yeah, we do a proper cold lunch bunch on the centre each and every week.
You do it yourself?
Yeah. Somebody helps us to do.
All right, and what's your speciality?
We do spaghetti bolognese or chicken curry.
Lovely. People come up for second helpings.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's a lunch. Look, that's proof in the pudding, isn't it? When they come back up for more. Hey, yourself, Kevin, if you...
I don't know. I've been putting walnuts in everything recently.
Lovely. What's the?
I have no idea. I made a falafel wrap yesterday, which smashed up some falafel balls, walnuts, couscous, hummus, and put it into a wrap.
You'd be a vegetarian, Kevin. No?
That's it. Yeah. For the past 3 years, we kind of ruled out a lot of foods.
Would you vary down the vegan route or?
No, I don't know if I've ever given it a fair go, but I've noticed I was coming down on the Manchus there, and there's a billboard outside Drogheda for veganism. I've seen them popping up now around the place.
There we go. But years ago, when you were becoming a vegetarian, it was a lot harder than it is now. With you sort of corn and stuff. I mean, if you gave someone corn and sausages now, or corn and chicken nuggets,
the
kids didn't wonder why. You didn't tell them, you know, especially with the make a bolognese. Sometimes the bolognese with the corn mince is actually nice, you know.
But there's so many options now, you can go out and do it.
It's a little more easy, I mean, than it was, you know.
It's definitely more catered to. But then if you went down the vegan route, I know if you go out to a restaurant, usually you get at least two vegetarian options, but there'd rarely be a vegan one, so I think it's still a bit too difficult for me.
Like, I tell you how much it's progressed. I remember years ago, and I was moving in with a girl in Balbriggan, and she was a vegetarian, and someone says to me, "Jeez, I mean, if only I work it out there, someone, I mean, being a vegetarian, and she, I mean, no chips or anything." No chips. I mean, vegetarians eat chips. I mean, chips don't come off an animal, you know what I mean? They come from the ground, you know. But I just thought, I mean, it was the lack of education, the vegetarianism, you know what I mean? No chips, lad, you're vegetarian.
All they eat is carrots.
Yeah, I mean, sweet potato or something, I don't know, when it's a crazy one. But I suppose, just for argument's sake, what would be our last meal?
I know there's a website, maybe it's only, there's a website we can go through, they've listed all of the people who were executed in America, their last meal, so you can go see what everyone had for their last meal,
it's sadist, isn't it? It's like a normal bully. It's like a bull's eye. Look what you could have, you know.
This is what they ate for their last meal.
But you know what I mean. If you hadn't messed up, you could be having this every day, you know. well, enjoy it.
It's a weird tradition. I wonder where it came from. We're going to kill you, but you can have whatever you want to eat before we do it.
Make that last.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd have for my last meal.
Big plate of stew.
Big bowl of soup. Probably.
Batch bread. Batch bread into the soup. Oh, yeah. I don't know if Irish people, if you have people stew. I love stew, but obviously I prefer it the next day.
The next day?
Yeah, but wait, so that mean then if you're cooking on a Monday, then don't eat it on the Monday. Just wait until the Tuesday. You're greedy, get. But I suppose, I think Irish people then, it's that kind of, we're all curry hounds after a feed of drink.
Yeah.
That night, it's like sort of people sort of, we came back from a concert there a few weeks back, and the panic ensued. The chippers were closed. You know what I mean? Would have been like, they'd have been lent to Lent Park Street to find a chipper that was open. You know what I mean? It's that, no, I want a bag of chips. And I'm going to get a bag of chips.
What's this place across the road here? And Z's, is it?
The Malacca's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does, yeah. I've definitely gone in there for many a falafel roll at 2 a.m.
You can't, I mean, isn't it? They do a thing, I think, once a year, is it the Irish Italian Chippers Federation or something?
Fish
and Chip Day, and just queue out the door for fish and chips. I don't know what it is. I mean, and that thing sort of wrapped up, used to be wrapped up in the old newspaper.
Yeah.
Remember that used to be again. Great man. I don't know why these phrases were coming out of my head. You know, if someone look you up, today's news, tomorrow's chip paper. That's a good thing.
But what would you consider to be Irish cuisine? Stew, shepherd's pie.
The bacon been cooked in the cabbage, I suppose. It sort of seems to be the generic sort of meal. If you go to any, if you ever go abroad and you go to the Irish bars, that seems to be sort of Irish stew.
Guinness pie, Guinness pie, that is.
I can't beat Guinness pie. And the best with the crust on it. But it seems to be, I think that anything with Guinness, just slap Guinness into it.
Exactly, it's very much anything with a bit of alcohol in it. Yeah. Bailey's or whiskey.
Painting a great picture. I mean,
exactly.
Could be true, I don't know. But I mean, look, I suppose. I suppose that's a hearty meal as regards our dinner, but I suppose what's your favourite go to snack food, shall we say? I mean, you know that, I'd say during the winter when we had the snow there, I'd say a lot of people were probably just,
it'd be interesting. Well, now in the same way as putting up people's last meal, it'd be interesting to get everyone's shopping receipts from just before the snow.
Well, I know mine was a family pack of Mars bars, Twizzles, six bag of crisps, obligatory slice pan. And you could get one.
By the time I got there, the slice pans were gone. Yeah, crisps.
Never mind the snow. It'd be the great bread crisis. No, they do reeling in the years.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a generation going to be looking back at this and just in convulsions laughing at the bread crisis. There's a lot of fat ducks around at the moment. You know what I mean? I suppose we were saying before. Bacon. We would have came with, our parents would have done a lot of bacon. I mean, I know my mother did. She baked for the ICA and there was always cakes and buns. There was always a lot of people knocking at our door, young lads, you know, friends that knew there was a stray bun going or a slice of cake. What about yourselves? I mean, was bacon a big thing in your houses growing up? Grandmothers, maybe?
Yeah. My grandmother used to make treacle bread.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
You have made a hot butter on it.
Yeah.
Remember, Nana, God rest her, used to make a big bacon tin, roasting tin, and we'd be a rhubarb tart in it. And you'd get that, like, it was wild rhubarb that was grew in the garden. And you'd have the wild rhubarb tart and then with a bit of custard on it. Oh, yeah, I can still taste it, you know what I mean? Absolutely brilliant. So, what we'll do is, before I'll have to have dry my mouth here after all this talking about food. So we're going to go to a bit of music. This is another one for you, Anita. You were saying looking for a bit of Ollie Moore's.
Yeah, I love Ollie Moore. That's with me tonight.
Well then, she'll get a very Motown sounding song, I have to say. I like this. So a bit of Ollie Moore's, and we'll be back with our second to last. This is a good one. Our last topic will be actually about what we would do with £1 million. We can all but dream.
Like you, your shot so bright. your hands go down, down. But go with it, girl. Yeah, just close your eyes. Yeah. I feel the music moving through your body. I'm looking at you, I can tell you want it. Don't stop, keep going till the morning light. Yeah. When I saw you there, sitting all alone in the dark, acting like you didn't have it, yeah. I knew right then that you'd be mine, and we'd be dancing the whole damn night. Ooh, 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 oh, baby. And I just want you to dance with me tonight. So come on, ooh, ooh, oh, baby. I just want you. Come on now.
Okay, there, of course, the great Ollie Moores, of course, and still flying at high. Probably one of the biggest, the big success out of X Factor. And he didn't win it.
No.
And One Direction.
That was a hard lot.
If I ever went to X Factor and they asked me that, what do you want from the show? I said, not to win it. I mean, One Direction didn't win it. I think they came fourth, and they were one of the biggest boy bands in the world.
Yeah.
By a long ways. He didn't win it. He came second or something.
Like yeah.
That. Where's the people that won?
He was beaten by somebody else, I think. I don't know who it was.
Denise,
I think it was Ben Haler.
Was it Denise?
Something.
Not what's her name? The one Bad Boys. You had the song Bad Boys. It'll come back. It'll come back. Okay, so, excuse me. Our last topic is, I suppose, we'd all love to have the winning lotto ticket tonight. Is if we had £1 million or €1 million, what would we do with it? And we'll all lie and we'll all say I'll give it to charity. Yeah, my pocket is the great charity. But I suppose if we had enough money, you've kept some for yourself and you're going to do some good with it, what would your choices be, Anita?
Well, I put it towards the Swedish Special Olympics for funding.
Yeah.
Raise to get us to those different places and stuff like that.
Yeah. And is that in sort of incorporate for the new younger people coming in, is it?
Yeah. So we're looking for new members and stuff.
Yeah, and to Aunt Nelson in the town, that would be, say, that you would feel passionate enough, or you feel it could be spent, that you'd like to say, give it and say, listen, I'd like to see that better in town, Aunt Nelson.
Yes, there's not much of a track and field here in Dundee. We have to wish to travel to the bus and stuff like
sport
that.
Better. A public sports facility, is it?
Yeah, there's not much around here like the sports.
It is very true, especially for people who want to be walking and stuff like
especially
that.
Especially for people with disability.
Yeah, but it's very worthwhile cause, that one, right? What about yourself, Kevin?
I don't know. But €1 million, I suppose you could give €20 to every person in the dock. That'd be 20 quid in hand. That's not too bad.
Straight into the chairman of the local council.
Yeah. You can
have the first man to get 100% vote.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
100%.
Two fellas coming back room with sort of Groucho Marx glasses and moustache on them and trying to get an extra 20.
Exactly. Well, would you reveal it? Like, if you won the lotto, would you let them publish your name? Or would you keep it wished?
I remember hearing before, if you reveal it, you get an extra 10,000.
I know in America, if you in some states, yeah, if you don't reveal it, you get docked.
Yeah, and if you some do reveal it, you get reveal it. Only for revealing, because I suppose it's...
I think it's more if you reveal it, you get the full amount you won.
I don't think, could the, you often hear these people, like, oh, if I won a million, I wouldn't change. Of course it changes.
Absolutely, yeah.
You have to change. I mean, you're going from... I mean, like, trying to go from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday, towards balancing the finances, to all of a sudden sort of, listen.
Yeah.
Money is no object. But I suppose... from me, I suppose one thing, so seeing the town, I suppose it's going on from yourself with the sport facilities that be, yeah. I suppose all aspects of the public you don't would be could avail of it is I suppose go back to the youth, and I think sometimes the youth, if people forget that they're almost like a forgotten generation, and I suppose at the end of the day the youth are the future, is there's nothing in the town as far as I can see for the young people to sort of like a hangout, as I was saying before.
Yeah.
In Drogheda you have a thing called the Boomerang Cafe, where people, young people, can go in. I suppose it's a safe environment. They can go in. It's like you were saying about that place in Dublin, yeah. Kevin.
Well, we were talking about it earlier. I was doing a gig during the week. There's a space in Temple Bar called the Clockwork Door, and it's basically just like a huge, cool apartment. And it's got a stage, and so you're paying by the hour. I think it's four something an hour. And it maxes out at 20. So for €20, you can stay there for the whole day. You can make tea and coffee all for free.
Yeah,
and it's just a place you can go. There's no alcohol. It's just a place you can go and hang out, I guess, and not be... Well, I remember, like, when I was a teenager, all you had was to go to the marshes. And you've no money to buy anything, so you're being moved along every couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You can't sit still.
Yeah, that now, I suppose, with the sort of, I suppose, with...
Especially for the young ones in the wheelchair.
Yeah,
there's nothing to do.
No. But even something as simple as a place to sit and chat and not be moved along, you know.
I definitely think that there is, if I had that money, it was something I would certainly look for. I mean, there's plenty of units and shops around the town that are gone to rack and ruin because, I suppose, they were lost in the Celtic Tiger and have been forgotten about. But yeah, if you had that amount of money, I would buy a unit like that and sort of, as you were saying, something like that place in Dublin, something like the place in Drogheda. That would be, as you said, it would be subsidised in the sense that they would pay their €4 that covered them for the day, any amount of coffee they want to drink, any amount of...
Sure, tea and coffee is cheap too. For €4, you've got tea and coffee for a week.
That
for
could be a pool table, a jukebox.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Some of that people can just come together. Within that, then you can set up your drama groups, you can set up your... Yeah. You know what I mean? As you said, somewhere, it's... Even something that you said, that it would be wheelchair accessible, that you're not forgetting one sort of avenue of life, you know what I mean? It's sort of one in, all in, you know.
It's very tight to the shops and stuff.
It's something like that that you'd have to make it even sort of, you know what I mean, that it's completely universally friendly, if you like, user-friendly, you know, that for all sort of avenues, as I said, or paths of life, that wouldn't be sort of, you know what I mean, seen as elitist or something like that. It's only certain kind of kids go there, you know. But no, it's not. Listen, I don't care if you're a kid that's into grunge, if you're a kid that's into emo, if you're a kid that's into dance, if your kid is into soccer, come in,
just
hang out with your friends,
yeah.
You know what I mean, there's any amount of room, come in, sit down.
Yes, it's a decent.
And I suppose as well, in the modern age as well, where parents are worried where their kids, at least they know, where am I going, where are you going, son, where are you going, child, you know, I'm heading down to the Dandelion Bar or something like that, just
the Dandelion Bar.
You know what I mean, I'm heading down to Dandelion Bar, I'm heading down to Dandelion Cafe or whatever, that, you know where they are.
Yeah,
they're down the town, but they're not down the town. They've went to meet their friends, and they're not been around the shop. They're not hanging around the streets. They're not getting into trouble because they're been supervised in an area like that. And I think it's something I've always been sort of passionate about, giving money or working with kids, and that, you know, and sort of if you can ignite a spark in one child, and the rest will follow. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. Well, it's something that everyone, when they're a teenager, it's so prevalent, and you're aware of how much of a pain it is. And as soon as you become old enough to go into bars, you're like, you kind of forget about it because you're taken care of, and you know, like you can go and sit in the bar for a fiver an hour, and that is kind of the equivalent, but that's not available to teenagers.
I suppose the other thing, I suppose, with the money dens as well, I suppose, is doing something to sell the town better. I don't know, maybe somebody say I'm being, but maybe I'm sure there is people and they're doing their best, but I think this magnificent town, we have a view out there, Black Rock, that people travel the world to see.
Absolutely.
And I just think, yes, there's people and they're working and they're doing their best, but if I had £1 million, that's probably something, I don't know how you feel about that, would be something that you would feel that the town needs to be sold, historically wise, tourism wise, attractive wise, landmark wise.
It'd be interesting to see the tourism stats of Dundalk now, like do people, is it a destination that people come and visit the same way they'd visit Kilkenny?
But that's it. I mean,
do people visit Kilkenny? Actually, I don't know.
I think yes,
probably. Yeah.
definitely. I think I suppose if you had those money, if you had that kind of money, you're always going to have any amount of charities that we're not thinking of. I suppose, I mean, the, you know, excuse me, is the likes of the animal rescue.
Yeah.
Again, the Coast Guard. There's an awful lot of worthwhile sort of the unsung heroes.
True.
If you like, in an area.
Yeah.
Again. And then some of you were saying, I suppose, I'm sure you probably feel passionate about it, being in the world of stand up.
Yeah.
Pump money into the local talent, local bands, giving them a platform.
I think in fairness, maybe not so much for comedy. But for music, I think Dundalk does very well for... I mean, there's a hell of a lot of great bands coming out of the town. The Spirit Store is there as a sort of country... That's like a top-tier venue in the country that promotes local music. So I think in terms of... definitely the music scene is doing pretty well for itself.
I'd love to pump money in if I buy something construct. This is something on the top of my head. It's constructed a bandstand.
Right.
You know, remember, it's probably back to the golden age of entertainment in Ireland.
But is the one still out there in St. Helena Park?
Yeah, but I mean, who?
I know.
You know what I mean? It's off the beaten track. I mean, if you go in there in the square, it could be even a mobile one that could be set up and bands could go down and just plug in the guitars and look, doing it for free.
True.
You know what I mean? You'd love to get, if you had that few quid that you didn't mind doing, and say, listen, it doesn't bother me, I have the money. You know what I mean? Get young fellas, give them a voice, and everyone, there could be some Simon Cowell type character in the crowd, pass the boy and hears him, we'll sign them.
I suppose if there was money to bring in, I know Aidan Shields is doing the comedy there in the Spirit Store. He's doing a great job of getting sort of bigger name acts to come and play, to have the Spirit Store be, when you're coming to Ireland to do a tour of Ireland, to have it be one of the spots the comedians come to.
Right.
So I guess that'd be something interesting, I guess, to pump more money in, maybe to get bigger, even bigger names down to play in our local spot.
What should I say? Look,
you wouldn't find $1 million, it would go pretty quickly.
No,
I'd imagine.
Wouldn't. That is for sure.
Yeah.
Fella says, once you've been £1 million, you'll have friends you never knew, you know.
Well, you mentioned, you were talking about the Dandelion Bar, was the name you picked for your space.
Yeah, it just popped into the Dandelion Market years ago in Dublin, was famous for sort of one of those kind of gigs.
I went to see you too there in the 70s.
Yeah, I went to, it was sort of like few attended but many went.
Exactly.
You know, it's sort of, people say to me, and they see to me, oh, you're a fan of the Smiths. I saw the Smiths at the Fairies. I was like, when did the Fairies hold? Must have held about 40,000, didn't it?
Everyone,
I was at the Smiths.
I gave Morrissey a lift down there to the Fairies. Oh, he's a great man,
I
met him afterwards.
I don't know how the man got any sleep.
He met half the country that night.
40,000 people in the Fairies.
I thought it was a reference to the Dandelion Bar in Belfast. I don't know if you know.
I've heard of Dandelion.
Yeah, I think it's the last bar in Belfast that still has the Peace Cage. Which is a great oxymoron name. There's a cage outside the door so they get a lock. I think you go into the cage and then the cage closes behind you and you're in that space before they open the door to let you into the bar. So right. I think it was a kind of limbo, I guess, before you get into the spot.
And there we go.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose, look, you might as well dream here as dream in bed. So we'll do the six numbers tonight and look, we'll...
You're coming out with great phrases now today.
Oh, that's it. We'll see. Look, that's it. Sort of whatever happened to Carl Collins? No, I think he's living down in Jamaica somewhere, counting his millions.
Yeah,
You know, well, I suppose from myself, thanks very much. I absolutely enjoyed the chin wag on everything and anything. About yourself, you enjoy
Yeah,
easier than I thought.
Yeah.
So again, you're on air. What day?
Thursday night between 9 and 10.
9 and 10, deadly stuff. And
but I'm going to be doing that training course you were talking about.
Oh, right, yeah, absolutely. You will. So. You will enjoy it. I have to say, it's looking forward to it. There's a lot in it, but it's enjoyable. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's all. excuse me. It's. Look, I'm doing this show because, and as I said, it's opened up avenues because of doing that course.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I would tell anybody that's any interest in radio, get in on it. And again, if anybody's interested, the station does do a thing called Spotlights, where you pick an artist, whatever choice, can be an artist or a band, and you have an hour to talk about that artist and play the music and come in and get it into, put your ideas into Dundalk FM in here. And if you want to do it, somebody will do the desk for you as well, and you can pre-record it or you can do it live. So that's it from myself. I'm on air tonight between 7 and 9 with Rocksteady Rhythms, and of course back on Tuesday at the same time, 7 to 9. So from myself, goodbye, and from Anita.
Goodbye from Anita Jess.
And from Kevin.
Goodbye from myself as well.
So until next week, join us again for Ready, Steady, Go.